God, walking, living in the power of the Spirit of God. I think it's important you turn the tape over, because I think Chris has got just a few little things to share. We're okay, actually. This is officially due to close at 12:30. So, you're okay.
Okay.
You might want to get people standing up and shuffling their feet for a minute, and then you can close us down. And don't forget, we're going to do a bit of declaring before we go.
It's toilet time. I just want to take an aspect of a people of the 90s, really. And I want to read a few scriptures to you. I'm going to do, John's done a good thing, and I'm going to try and carry on. I want to read to you Ephesians 5, beginning at 8. I'll read it to you if you like. You don't have to turn. And it says in my Bible, "For you were once darkness." That you were once darkness. "But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." And I also want to read from Isaiah 43:18. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And as I thought about the people of the 90s, I often get a picture of people. You know, I look at certain people, and it seems to me, in my imagination, that I see them walking around dragging behind them an afterbirth. Or some of them have got an afterbirth in a bag that they carry around with them. And it's stinking. It's absolutely stinking. And I just want to tell you again today what we have to really get into if we're going to move into the 90s and make it the decade that is on our hearts to make it. You've got to actually get rid of your afterbirth. See, you've been born again. You've been saved from a pit. And maybe at the time that you were saved, you weren't told to look at what the pit contained. But it's about time you did, and then you left it. Because Jesus has put his hand down into the pit, and he's pulled you out of it. It is no longer relevant to you. The pit is full of hurt, it's full of anger, it's full of sin, it's full of foulness, and it's full of death. You were darkness. You were. Now, if you can only come to terms with that and have an ultimate disappointment with yourself because of how absolutely rotten you are, you can ditch it. You can put it behind you once and for all. You have been born again. You don't have to have this afterbirth dragging around smelling wherever you go. It has nothing to do with your new birth. You see, you were consistently lied to. That was the thing that kept you in the pit. You were told that you were unlovely. You were told you were undesirable. You were told you were dirty, you were stupid, good for nothing, and unforgivable. Why do you still believe those things? Why do you still believe those things? Why is the smell of death still sometimes found on you? You have been born again. The past is to be forgotten because you've looked at it squarely. Because you've looked at it squarely and you know you couldn't be worse than you were. So why does Satan always surprise you with it? Why does he always rattle it at you and you run? And you say, oh, Oh. Oh, oh. Oh. The people of the 90s haven't got time for it. We have not got time for it. I know that with my particular gift, that the way that God moves me from time to time, you know, and seeing demons and seeing the work of the enemy, my constant cry to the Lord is, when are you going to let me loose into the world, Lord? Why am I always stuck here in the church, still sorting it all out, still dealing with the pit, still dealing with death and destruction that's hanging on people's clothes? I believe, from what you've heard from John, we can live clean and clear. God wants to build on a strong foundation, and the foundation is that he pulled us out of a pit. That's where I've been. That's where I lived. That's who I was. Darkness was in me. I was darkness. But now I have a different aim, a different goal, a different expectation. I don't want to be whining and moaning on about my past. It's not relevant to my future. I want to get my feet constantly on the rock. I want to be free. And I don't want to be surprised at how rotten I am. I am rotten. I am. But there's something of pure gold in me now. And that's what I'm running with. I can't run with the rotten. I can run with the gold. And that's what I'm running with. And on the basis of that, and having put the pit behind me, and every time I get that smell in my nostrils, say, no, no, it's not going to spoil today. It is not going to spoil today. It's like a whiff of the cesspool. It is not going to spoil today. I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to hear what God wants me to be today. And in the light of that, I believe that the people of the 90s can be people who are able to deal with intense activity. See, we get so guilty about so many things. Do you know, it really is all right if God is sending you out into the world to open people's eyes to the pit, to the latrine, to the mess that they're in, for you to actually change your beds once a fortnight instead of every week. Because you haven't got time to do it as meticulously as you did. I believe that we can come into a time of intense activities, and our homes may become a bit shabby. I'm not talking about dirty, but shabby. Maybe we won't have time to decorate every 3 years because we are too caught up with what's happening out there and what God is sending us into. If it is going to be the last decade, let's live as if it is. Let's live our lives as though it is the last decade. Let's forget our past. Let's ditch the pit and get on with the job. We have to learn during intense activity when to say no. You are allowed to get tired. You are allowed to be tired. You are allowed to say, I've got to go and sleep now. Jesus did it. They said to him, all men seek you, Lord. And he said, right, we'll go over here and have a rest. He knew when to do the things that he had to do. He knew when God told him to stop. I'm not talking about getting into being workaholics. I'm talking about being prepared for intense activity and being able to cope with it. Not believing that you've got all the answers. You haven't got all the answers. If you've got all the answers, you don't need me. There are times in intense activity when you need to look around for the people that you need to do, to finish the job, to start the job. People of the 90s, I believe, have got to be like that. We've got to be flexible. So you've just finished decorating your house. I always used to feel that the minute you decorated your house, God would say, right, everybody out. But I can see now it isn't to do with the fact that I've just decorated my house. It's to do with hearing God saying, go. Change your geography now. You've just got a good thing going in your meetings. And God says, well, I don't want that anymore. You've got to be flexible. your job. And God says, give it all up and go to the East End of London or out to Mongolia. And you just had promotion. You've got to be flexible. You've got to be flexible with your leaders. Leaders aren't indelibly stamped in their foreheads with this name for the whole of their lives. They may need to be flexible and become something else, do something different. Flexibility. When to make sacrifices. And for different people, the sacrifices will be so different. For one woman, for example, the sacrifice may be opening a home, bringing in a family, and risking children scribbling on her walls. That is a sacrifice for some people. Don't let's despise it. Let's see that sacrifice is relevant to who we are. But God's going to take us deeper than that. It's going to cost us skin. We're going to sacrifice skin at some point. I mean, I don't look forward to that. And I think, well, Lord, let's get Britain Christian. You know, let's get a nice oasis here so that I don't have to lose any of my skin. But I still tremblingly say that, Lord, if that's for me in the future, I don't want to look for it. But you're just going to have to take me through it because I can't do it myself. It isn't a sacrifice until it's something that's difficult to do. Until you've really loved your wife and laid down your life for her. Until you've given up something to really show her that she is important to you. Until it costs you something, it doesn't mean much. As a wife, until you've submitted to something that you didn't want to do, your submission is academic. It's like saying, I can ride a bike, but you leave it in the cupboard and you never get on it and ride it. These are the people of the 90s. They live as though today is the last day. A bad experience in the past now comes now as a warning of what Satan can do to you while you're in that jolly bit. He's not sentimental. He wants to hurt you. He wants to damage you. He wants to mar you. He wants to be like a horrid boy pulling legs off of flies and spiders. Some of you are legless in your emotions. But see it and leave it in the pit. The past is what Jesus has saved me from, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm so grateful that he saved me from it. He saved me from the power of it in my life. The power to hurt me. The power to keep me quiet. The power to keep me sitting on my chair. The power to make me keep breaking it over. He saved me from it. I don't want to be afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. If I have the smell of it in my nostrils, I think, yeah, well, what can you tell me that's new, Lord, about that time in my life? There's nothing new you can tell me about it. I was darkness. But behold, he's doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? He doesn't want us looking over our shoulders. He wants us looking forward. I believe that the people of the 90s are going to have leaders who are dynamic. They've got to have a vision. They've got to see this. Do you perceive it? Even if they see it, as John was sharing, if he sometimes feels that he's seeing something in the future, but it's through a haze. Even if it's hazy, they're beginning to perceive it. And once the haze clears and they see the blueprint, they might gulp and think, oh, blow, I thought my building days were over, but here's a new thing, and we're going to build something new. They're going to be people with a vision. They're going to have a today ability. They're not going to rest on yesterday's blessings. I love the story, you know, of the way that God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He gave them manna. And if you kept it for longer than a day, it stank. They were told that they could only gather the manna that they needed for the day. And you got double amount before the Sabbath. But that's what leaders are going to show you how to do, that it's manna for today. It's manna for today. You can't store it up. and you can't use yesterday's. All you can do with yesterday's manna is ditch it, because it stinks. But it's the manna for today. They are going to have a building ability. And the building ability is going to be that they are going to be able to see the rubble. And it is rubble. It's rubble, our lives. And they're going to see the living stones in that rubble. And they're not going to be people. It's easy, you see, to take stones and grade them and get them in little piles. Big ones here, medium ones here, and little ones here. And now, what do we do with them? They're lovely piles of stones. But an ability to clear the rubble and integrate the stones. And to have somebody who gets born into the kingdom and say, got just the place for you. In there. Whatever your size is. Because there is a U-shaped hole in this temple that only you can fill. We may need to do some mopping up in the Church of Jesus Christ. But the people of the 90s are going to see people born clean. Born clear. And if you think you're going to mop up until the end of your life, then I pray that I will not be there helping you. Because if we're going to be mopping up in your life until the day you die, we somehow will have missed it. If we are going to be these people of the 90s, then we need to put the pit behind us and we need to look forward. We need to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? That's the people of the 90s. Do you want to declare?
Yeah.
Well, you do that, because I don't know what you mean.
Okay, let's stand together. Perhaps those that, you know, musicians and Dave, if you'd like to just come out to the front, because we can sing while we're declaring. What I want us to do is just to, if God has spoken to you in some way and you become aware of some particular aspect of what has been said, that is alive to you, then I think it's just good to declare those things out and to speak out our words so that God can hear them, the principalities can hear them, and your brothers and sisters can hear them, and we can plug into what God is saying, because he's not just speaking through us. His spirit is speaking to each one of us individually. And it may be that something Christina said in terms of our past, I hope you've grasped what she's saying. It's not a condemnatory word, but it's a word to encourage us to see that God has something for us and that we do go through difficulties. Grace Barnes was talking about Joseph, and she said that Joseph went through all kinds of difficulties, but he never went back. He went through the prison, through the pit, but he never went back to the pit. Mm. He went through the prison, but he never went back to the prison. Mm. He was going through and onward and upward to a place that God had in reserve for him. And I think today we need to realize that God is calling us on to this new thing. Past has perhaps been good. We don't want to dwell on the good things of the past. We want to be reaching out for that which is ahead. So if there's some aspect of what has been said this morning that is meaningful to you, then right where you are, just declare it out so that we can rejoice with you in what God is saying. And then perhaps we'll sing a final song to close with.